Hey church, this evening we've got something special. I'm going to be interviewing our senior ministers around vision builders, finances and all that kind of stuff. So, Whoa. Hey, let's make them feel welcome. We Thank love you. Our senior ministers.
Thank you, Dave.
Pastor John and Dan, you are the greatest pastors. We love serving you guys.
That's very sweet.
Yes.
Not sure it's true, but it's very sweet. So thank you.
But you know why that is? And I bet you guys can resonate with that.
You haven't had very many senior pastors.
Yeah, I've only, yes.
Okay, we're the only senior pastors you've ever had.
Not my first ones, but here it is. They always, always champion us. No matter what it is, they believe in us, they pray for us, they encourage us, and you're always for us. So I just thank you for
thank
that.
You. It's a and, privilege. It's what
makes this place fun.
Thank
but
you.
Doing all this stuff together, it makes it interesting. So thank you
Dave.
So much.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, so we've been talking vision builders.
Yes.
We discovered you guys have been senior pastors for...
24 years.
24
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
So take us back. There wasn't always a vision builders program in this church before that. So when was the first one? Why? How come you guys decided to create a Vision Builders program, and what did it look like back then compared to now?
Okay, so our church was 8 years old when we took on. Our senior pastors were going to Canada to plant the first C3 church in Canada, and they entrusted this precious baby of a church to us, which was them championing us. We were just in our 20s, and we didn't have our own facility as a church. We were meeting in a rented facility. We didn't have offices. We didn't have any sort of a permanent place. What we first wanted to do...
It was like a hire facility. It wasn't even a rental, right? We just set up and packed down every Sunday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, is that what
That's fun.
That means? Yeah, cool. So the first thing we wanted to do was to honour our outgoing pastors, and that was... It was almost like the inception of a giving program. We led the church in an honor moment to bless them as they gave, because they were putting everything on the line to relocate themselves to another country. And so we sort of built up this big offering before they could leave, so that we could present them with a big check. That's what we sort of had this vision. We wanted the big check and present to them. And that was the start of... just getting into that, giving to something bigger than yourself and sowing and believing and reaping.
That's so cool.
There's probably about 80 people, 80 adults in our church at that point, and everyone gave about $45,000, blew them away to send them off to Canada. So it was really cool.
That's crazy. I've been at this church, I don't know, plus 10 years, and I've never heard that story.
That's
so cool. So seed it in generosity.
That was the beginning, and then out of that we began a building fund probably the next year.
Yeah,
because we really wanted to get somewhere permanent, because setting up and packing down every week under the stage, all the gear, everything, is not fun. So we really wanted to get somewhere, and we began to give towards a permanent rental facility.
That's so cool. Cool story. So, all right, so we're talking Vision Builders, which is, I said this earlier on, it's above and beyond the tithe. But when I came here, I kind of knew what the tithe was, but I've never been exposed to a building program or a giving program or being generous above that. So I know we talked about this morning, the difference between the tithe and generous giving. So obviously, number one resource, go there. But can you give us kind of a quick version of what's the difference between tithing and giving generously into a program like this?
Fantastic. So tithing is all about stewardship. Tithing is where you and I, when we become Christians, I mean, let me backpedal. God's really interested when you become a disciple of Jesus that every part of your life is discipled. So all of, as a follower of Christ, it's not just an hour or two on Sunday, it's everything. It's my behavior, the way I talk, it's my finances. And he's super generous. Like God, he loves his kids, and we're his kids. So he wants to bless us. So tithing is kind of like the starting point of honoring God. It's the tithe literally means tenth or ten. So the principle of tithe all the way through the Bible is that whenever you have increase come into your life financially, whether it be through a wage, whether it be through buying and selling something, making a profit, whether it's through a government payment, whatever it is, any increase is God's the source of that, even though we might earn it. And so as the source of it, he requires us to go to bring back a tenth to basically to fund the running of the church. That's kind of the pattern of it. And it's a test. It's a test, because the 10 in the Bible means test. So it's a test, will we trust God in it, with our lives, and will we honour him with the financial that comes into our life? So that's why I think when you get baptised, getting baptised with your wallet's probably a really good idea. Because it's, you know, getting wet for one day, that's a little easier, but actually letting God be the Lord of your finances. So that's the tithe. That's an ongoing principle where you honour God, and the principle there is you trust that what God's going to do is put protection around your life and bless you so that your 90% will go further. And he literally says to test him in it. And I've seen time and time again where people have made the sacrifice to start to tithe. Yeah. God's blessing begins to overtake them.
That's so good. I love that. Does that make sense? Is this good? Yeah, it's sure. Because as I said earlier on, I had no idea about the difference. So it's really important that we do teaching around this.
Sure.
Thank you so much. And it is all biblical.
Yes.
Old and New Testament. Yes. We discussed that this morning as well. So listen back to that podcast. So that's the tithe.
Yes.
Now, what's generous giving compared to that, and how does that kind of fit in with that?
Well, okay, so it's over and above the tithe. The tithe is the 10%. You can't like double tithe or half tithe, or the 10% is the tithe. That's what it means, right? Like the 10. And so the giving outside of that, and that's sort of returning to God what is his. And the rest is the giving is to unlock your heart in terms of the generous component that some of us are born with, some of us have to really work at it, to unlock that generosity in you. I would probably, you know, be the tither that was literally 10%, not 1 cent more, not like 1 cent less. It was like exact. And, you know, I mean, you can round it up, you can whatever. I know that was a little struggle for us when we got married, because John's like it's all God's, and, you know, give the, like, just over in abundance. I'm just like, 10%. Like 10%, literal 10%, lock it in. And so the journey for me is to unlock the generosity that God's put in there, but it was like locked up. And so then to go, okay, how can I mean, there's the principle of sowing and reaping and expecting something in return, but it's just the, how can I be a cheerful giver if I'm so locked up about money and I need the rest of it to look after and control it? And so to just go, it's all his anyway, and to get revelation of God can bless us with the more we give, the more we can receive, and the more you sow, the more seed. The more that there's a channel that God can bless you. So it's really quite the journey of going, how can I be a giver that's generous in my giving and not just the smallest amount, the minimum I can possibly give. So that's a real unlocking journey that can take time.
Yeah, that's cool.
This is true.
Yeah, we'll circle back to the trigger earlier on so we can maybe talk about that.
See, but your reactions.
The trigger moment, yeah. So, but kind of keywords that I picked out. So, Pastor John, you said the tithe is a test, and it's protection over your finances.
Yeah, it's about stewardship and honouring God with him being your source.
Yeah, and then Pastor Dan, you talked about actually unlocking blessing.
Yes.
So that's really cool. So it's protection, and then blessing comes out of the being generous as well.
I mean, it's the journey of becoming a generous person. And I mean, I know for people who've never tithed or never given, to learn to tithe is the beginning of unlocking generosity. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, what it does is when you start to tithe, it breaks money's control over your life, because money controls people. So people freak out and often, you know, anxious about money and worry about money. So when you begin to tithe, you break the control that money has over you. You start to not stress, because you're tapping into this idea that God becomes your provider. Yeah. And then you're giving. And, you know, God, we're becoming more like Christ. He's generous. God is incredibly generous. So he wants us to be generous. That's the journey that we've got to go on. Yeah. And so, yeah, when we sow, we're going to reap. That's the principle of the Bible. Not necessarily straight away, but we sow and then we add faith. And then we reap. That's the way of the world, the way of the kingdom.
That's cool. And we'll hear some stories in a moment how God's blessed our senior ministers. But I kind of wanted to tap into. So there's a bunch of blessing that comes with it. So why then is it so hard to part with our money? Like, I don't know. Are you guys like this? I don't know. Is it just me up here?
It's a few days, but you know, you can have a session there. That's great. A bit of therapy. That's great. No, it's all of us. It's everybody.
Yeah, because I was like, I'll give some time or I'll give my energy here. But then it comes to money, it's like, oh, now it hurts. Why is that? Why is there such contention around our money? Why is it so hard?
Well, Jesus talks about it. He said you can't serve God and mammon, which is like an Aramaic God over money. So it's essentially there's these, and he doesn't talk about that anything else. He doesn't say you can't serve God and sport, or you can't serve God and right. this. It's money. So there's a spirit on money that wants to control us and to withhold and find our identity in it and all sorts of things. So to kind of get free from that control, that's the big moment. Once we get free, it's not just about your wallet and your money. It's actually about your heart. It's about living as a generous life and living without this stress in your world. So mm-hmm. there's this wrestle of control that's going on. Who's in control of our life? Is it me or is it God? And that's why it's so hard. While you're trying to keep control of your money and everything, and you're not stepping into all that God's got for you, it's just like, this is like, oh, hold back. But eventually you just get into this place and get unlocked.
That's beautiful. That's probably why we've got to do it every week. Because it keeps trying to come back and get us. Hey, that's crazy. So spiritual aspects to this thing. That's wild. So, okay, vision builder. So Maureen and I, we joined this church, I don't know, about 13 years ago. And again, we had no idea to help us out, because this was really good. I had some guys that came around me. They explained what it is. Hey, here is, there's different ways that people give. I don't know, it's some people give like a percentage of their income or a percentage of what they believe is going to come in. Then some people just get a number from God and it's like, that's what it is. But can you give us some wisdom around that? If someone's here tonight and they've never given in to Vision Builders, what should be a starting point and what does that look like?
Magnificent. Well, I think tithing's the bottom line. So start by being a tither. That just gets you into the game of doing finances God's way. And then there's definitely, sometimes God can give you an amount, no doubt about it, like this much a week or this much of whatever. Sometimes God can give you a way. I mean, we've had moments where God's shown us something to sell and give, you know, so that would be a thing. I would just say a general rule is ask God what he wants you to give, listen, and then kind of ask him for a strategy of how you can do that.
Right.
And usually, there's until you unlock the flow of sowing and reaping in your life, so there's a flow that will happen, but when you get started to be a giver, you usually have to make a sacrifice.
Right.
You've usually got to go, oh, in my budget, I got this allocated, and therefore, I don't have spare money lying around. Who's got spare money lying around? No, that's what I thought. I don't have spare money lying around, so I'm going to have to sacrifice something to get started into becoming a sower.
Yeah.
So the Bible talks, you can either eat your seed or you can sow your seed. But if I eat all my seed, I'm not going to have a crop next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And lots of people are just devouring what comes in rather than either being a saver, which is an important biblical strategy, or as well as sowing. So if you're not sowing, don't expect God to give you a harvest next year. So, to get into the rhythm of becoming sowing and reaping, you've got to find some way to become of sacrifice.
That's really cool. That's a great picture. Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, I think, you know, just even that journey of how to hear from God, and sometimes we can really question that. Am I hearing from God? And sometimes, you know, we have a moment where even in this service, we'll say, okay, we're just going to wait on God and wait for him to drop something into your spirit. And then you're there trying to, like, what is it? What is it? And it's just the waiting and listening. Sometimes people will share something that will just resonate with you, whether it's a dollar a day or $10 a week, and you'll just go, oh, I could do that. And that's sort of a way that God can speak to you, because it resonates within you. And then you go, okay, I'm going to step out, I'm going to do that. And that's a way that he can guide you. And then you can look at your budget and go, okay, well, if I'm going to do that, $10 a week, that's, you know, $520 for the year or whatever it is, what can I change? Oh, that's less coffees out, or that's less movie.
Let's choose the movies.
Because then you go, oh, that's just not going to come from... you know, just drop into my lap. I'm going to have to make a sacrifice over it. So when you're allowing God to speak to you, something might prompt you in that, or a conversation or something that you've read in the Bible or whatever it is, and then you'll just resonate with it. And that's a way of God speaking to you.
And as a starting point, you kind of... Our vibe here of what we're doing is we're not trying to get everybody's money off them. I actually want you to be a disciple of Jesus and learn how to do money God's way, so that for the long term you operate blessed. That's the whole vibe here. Now, there's definitely moments where money's got a hold of us, and God asks us to sacrifice something that's got a hold of us. It can actually be an item that you've got, and God says sell it. It's kind of become an idol. Or it can be a line in your budget that you're spending money on, and God says you don't need that anymore. That, you know. And so there's definitely moments where God can break something off us like that. But usually it's more a matter of going, okay, well, I'm tithing 10%. Could I do another 5% in giving?
Right.
And so the Bible talks about as a man purposes in his heart. So there's partly hearing God, but then there's just partly kind of working it out.
Yep.
And God can anoint your working it out.
That's great. I love that. It's responsible giving as well.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's not like I'm going to...
Not just loading up the credit card.
Yeah.
That's not giving.
Right. We heard that the other night. It's not our money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool. I love that. Is that helpful? It really helped me when we got started.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're kind of along the track. We've been doing it for a few years. And one of the things on our hearts has been, we want to grow in this.
Yes.
So, and you guys have talked about this, you've taught us this, like, okay, so, and this is not for everyone, this is just if you've got the gift of giving on your life, Pastor John and Danielle, they encourage us, like, okay, well, where's the God gap in this?
Right.
What should that look like? Is there a rule of thumb around that? Again, is it like, I'm going to give $1 million, and I've never given before?
I would say really, really quickly... Make sure if you're pledging amount that you can work out how you can do at least 80%.
80%.
You know? So, and then I'm believing God for the other 20. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, I want to give $1 million this year.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, how are you going to do that? Well, I don't know. God's going to, it'll be so amazing. You're like, no, don't do that.
So that's not faith.
So that's not faith. That's just, that's ridiculousness. But work out what that I just think there's that 20% gap. Then with time, as you learn to hear God and step out, you're like, oh, I did that last time. Maybe the gap could get bigger next time because God came through. So, but you're better to start small. Otherwise, it's discouraging.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Love it. Really practical. Yeah. It's a journey. It's kind of, you grow in this, just like everything else. In prayer, you grow in it.
Totally.
Giving, you grow in your giving. That's awesome. I love it. Okay. These guys are awesome. They are faith-believing, crazy Christians, believing that God can do anything.
Yeah,
share with us some of your crazy kind of faith journeys that you've been on and that you relate back to, hey, God came through because of our giving. Some faith and stories that you may have.
I mean, there is so many, and it's kind of cool to look back. There is such a stretch, though, in the giving, and we don't forget that, but we see the breakthroughs, and that's the sort of thing that we remember. But there's so much stepping out and giving, and kind of that challenge of what can we sacrifice this year? What can we give that is going to hurt us? Because we kind of wanted to really stretch in that faith giving journey. The one that I remember, it was a significant one, is that we wanted to buy an investment property mainly so that we could make money off it to give into Vision Builders. It's kind of like God's building our house as we're building His. And so we did buy a really cheap little investment property, up a unit in Gladstone, and it was such a challenge to do it because it then went rent, when I say rent free, I mean tenant free, for like 9 months. And so we had really stepped out of this giving moment super painful because we're not making money, we're like feeding money into it that we didn't really have. But we saw the end result that in time we wanted to sell it and make a profit and give. And it was a number of years down the track, and then we just felt the yes, sell it now. And we went on a... It was quite a fun little journey of selling it, and we got a contract on it. It fell over, and we... I mean, God was really guiding us in saying yes, no to different contracts. And then the after it fell over, I think, I don't know, was it the next day or the next week or something, there was a new... I don't know, what was it, a mining thing or something?
They announced a new gas plant that just pushed the real estate prices.
And it just went up like $40,000 overnight, pretty much.
Come on.
And so then we sold that and just gave all the profit.
So that was,
and it was just like this massive unlocking for us in terms of our miracle property.
It was like $100,000 or something out of that property profit that God spoke to us about giving, I think, $60,000 into Vision Builders and $50,000 into something else.
Wow.
And yeah, but God spoke to us to sell it, to give.
Right.
And so that's...
So be in tune with that.
Yeah, to be in tune with that. And now we're in a house that we got for hundreds of thousand dollars under price. Because this is the thing, sowing, the way you sow is the way you reap. So if you're sowing out of... I'll tell you a car story in a minute. But if you're giving stuff that, you know, that's like land... you'll reap land. If you're giving stuff that's clothes, you'll reap clothes. It's, remember, you know, Pastor Phil used to talk about he gave a guitar to somebody once and he kept getting given guitars. So this is the principle of sowing and reaping.
So I'm going to be planting a money tree tonight.
That's what I'm doing. A money tree.
I want money back. I'm going to sow money. That's really
so
cool.
So our first example was that offering for the founding pastors we talk about. This is one of those moments. God, what do you want us to give? We always feel like we need to lead the church by example.
Right.
And the Lord showed me a picture of dropping car keys in the offering basket as it went round. And we owned one car. We owned two cars. We owned like a $800 Toyota Corolla 1973 model.
Barely a car.
Yeah. And then like, that was Danielle's first car. And then we owned a $5,000 Toyota Seeker. And so we're like, okay, we're going to sell the Seeker and give the $5,000 into the offering. Wow. So we made a pledge. So it wasn't excess. It wasn't like, And this is how God works. He doesn't ask you to give what you don't have. He has to ask you to give what you do have.
Yeah.
And so it took a while to sell. It was a bit of a challenge. We gave the $5,000. I'd like to say the next day someone gave us a car. Didn't happen. But for about the next 12, 18 months, I was driving around in this little bomb. And just going, thank you, God. We sowed. We love the Fletchers, and it was a privilege to sow. Right. And we're believing for something awesome. I walked through the airport, and a friend said to me, there was like a brand new black four-wheel drive. He goes, oh, that looks like your kind of car. And I go, yeah. So I started to pray, God, give us. We've sown a car. Let us get one like that.
Yeah.
And one day, a guy from our church said, rang me, said I'm going overseas. I've got a black Jeep Cherokee. I'll pay for the fuel, for the tires, for the rego, for the maintenance. Not the fuel, the insurance. You just got to put the fuel in.
Yeah.
Would you like to have that while I'm overseas? And he was away for 2 years. And it began the reaping of cars in our life.
So cool.
Because it's what God said. So that, get that. So
I love that. That's cool. And you know what? I know also for you guys, because we're in the church when you guys were believing for your miracle house too, mm-hmm. that you're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Marina and I, we used to pick up the children for church, and like literally every couple of weeks you were in a different house because you're on a faith journey. God,
yep.
You said.
That's true.
And you did get it for under what they advertised.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's way over that now as well.
Yeah.
And this is what I love. And listen again this morning, but God's signature is abundance.
It
I
is,
love that line this morning.
Yeah.
It's once you start trusting God, it's above and beyond what you can think, ask, or imagine.
Yeah.
Like, did you think you got a good deal? It's like, oh, great, God was in this. We got it for cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it like double, triple, whatever over
that,
the year.
You know, that's the tail end of us of learning about sowing, reaping, faith, sacrifice for 20 years.
Right.
You know, and so I think a big part of it is, you know, the principle of sacrifice is I'm going to sacrifice something that I love for something that I love all the more.
Yeah. Wow.
So that means for us, we love the house of God. We love church.
Yeah.
We love seeing people's lives saved.
Yeah.
We love worshiping God. That's our sacrifice. And so there's definitely, I mean, you gave your clothing, but we gave our clothing budget for a year, but yours was more significant than mine.
A little bit more.
I mean, it felt more significant to me. Yeah, there's times that we've just, like that sacrifice thing, it's just like, I don't want it to get a grip on me.
Yeah.
And so whether it's our holiday budget for the year or a clothing budget for the whole year, or we had international students stay in our home, which, you know, we love our personal space and with our family, our privacy and everything. And we're just like, okay, we can get money from that that we can sew into the house. But yeah, there's things that have hurt so much, because with the clothing budget was like, on the day sort of thing that God told us to do that. And we didn't have time to pre-shop, Dave. It wasn't like, awesome, I'll go on this massive, you know, shop up
pre
the year.
And we made the deal that we weren't going to tell people so we wouldn't get charity vouchers, you know.
It was tempting, but
rather than, hey, everybody, we're sacrificing our clothing budget, you know.
My literal shoes started falling apart. I had to glue them back together. It was just like, oh, man.
But there's a grind to giving as well. There's the years of sowing. I remember, you know, Russell and Rita are talking for years, early days, of we're having Vegemite sandwiches with our kids, driving a Tarago with 500,000 Ks on the clock or whatever it was, and we could be spending this money on other things right now, but this is the way we're getting into God's way of doing it, and it's not an overnight thing.
Yeah.
It's like a commitment to learning to be operating in God's way of doing it long term.
Love that.
And you know, learning, as much as for us it was a learning about the giving, but also learning about faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that, you know, because people can give, and then it's like planting seeds and never water it. I'm wondering why it's not growing.
Right.
Well, it's your faith that waters the seed that you sow.
Right.
So that's as important as your giving.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. I love it that our senior ministers, they lead by example. It's not do as I say. It's we go together. We're going to do this together. I love that so much. Now, you talked a little bit. I want to ask this question because it's important. So let's say we gave with good intentions and out of good stewardship. I knew and everything was going to come to plan, and like, I'm going to fulfill this pledge.
Yeah.
Have you guys gone through moments where you've done all that, you've heard from God, you've done it, and you're going to fulfill it, but then things just change and you haven't fulfilled your pledge?
Yep. Yes.
What do you do then, and how did that feel?
We give the Vision Builders director a call.
Oh, yeah.
No, look, it's
tough.
No,
we're sad. It's hard.
Yeah.
No, that hurts.
Circumstances change.
You don't make a pledge expecting not to fulfill it. And so to the disappointment of that, the discouragement of that, it's like, come on, God, we were in faith, believing, praying that, you know, a shortfall or a gap, a faith gap, that he would provide for that. And sometimes it just hasn't happened. And so there is that discouragement of that. It's like, okay, we'll just have to look at it differently.
Yes.
We still want to fulfill that pledge. It's like a vow to God.
Yes.
And we will fulfill it, but it'll take longer than we thought, which is...
Yeah. So we've definitely had some years where we didn't complete our pledge in the year.
Right.
But we've never had a pledge that we haven't fulfilled.
Awesome. That's great.
And so that's the mindset. It's like, Lord, this is not just, you know, oh, whatever. This is a, you know, but David says, I'll pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people. So that's
the Lord
come in the room.
And we're out of time.
So that's the way we've thought about it. And I know some people have taken 2 years instead of one.
Yeah. Right.
And there's no shame. I think that's the key thing. Don't worry. Don't feel bad about it. Just keep going. You're still sowing. You're still believing.
Yeah. And if that's you here tonight, guilt and shame is not from our Father in heaven.
It's not what we're going for.
He loves us and he's gracious. He takes us back every time.
Yep.
And that's the heart that I know you guys have, that and us as Vision Builder directors as well. It's like, okay, well, let's go again.
Yep.
We believe in you and we believe God's got a plan for you. So if that was you, then I want to encourage you just to go again and get some wisdom from us.
Yep.
So, but to kind of like wrap it up.
Yes.
We're believing for our own land.
Yes.
We're believing that people here will prosper, that we'll generate wealth for generations.
Yes.
But great facilities and all that. But all of that aside, what's your number one thing that you believe in, that you want to see in us, that you, us as a congregation, why do you want to see us partake in Vision Builders?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, there's multiple things going on there. I think, you know, last Sunday night I went off script and just talked about God wants us to love his house. Like, you know, for any younger Christian, any newer Christian, it's so important to get a revelation and a love for church, for the house of God. And so Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be. So you can tell if someone loves the house of God if they're putting their treasure in the house of God. And correspondingly, if you put your treasure, your money in, your heart will follow it. So there's definitely been years where we've been, we thought more would have happened in church, or more people would have got saved, or and you know, your heart has a little test, and you're like, no, we're all in, people. So I think, for me, amongst about five other things, it's hard to say the top one, but just the sense of I'm all in for the house of God, I'm all in for church. And I want to be part of the vision now and in the future.
Yeah.
And that's, so that would be one of my top three.
That's awesome. I love it.
Oh, I was literally going to say the exact same thing. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And that connection, that knitting in to the house of God, the local church is the hope of the world, with Jesus being made a disciple. And that's the connection. And if your heart is connected in, that's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to love Jesus, come alive, fulfill your purpose, help others fulfill their purpose. And so to see that connection where it's like, I'm all in. It's something when that happens when you put your money into something. It's like, yes, I'm all in. I'm dedicated to this. Like, I want to see God build the church. And then I love seeing the return fold into people's lives, where it's like there is so much reaping, such a harvest. Like, we're living testimonies of all the blessings that can flow into your life as you get connected into the house of God and fulfill His purpose for you, for your marriage, for your family, your kids, your health, your finance. Like, just all of it comes out of that connection into that life relationship with Jesus and into His house.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know, 3 John, John writes, he's an older John, and he writes his last letter to the church. And in verse 2, he just says, beloved, I want you to prosper, and I want you to be in good health as your soul prospers. And as your pastors, that's what we want. We want you to prosper. We want you to be in good health as your soul prospers. And so the way that you prosper God's way is you get generous on the inside. That's a prosperous soul, is a generous soul. And then your outward world is just going to catch up with that. It's not an instant, it's not easy, but you tap into the principles of doing life that way, and the blessing of God will overtake you if you're in it for the long haul. That's the way it works.
That's beautiful. I love that. And for Maroon and I, it was literally, that's why I love Vision Builders. I love what God does in our hearts, because I knew God, but it was through Vision Builders that we actually connected with God again in a heart way, because we're like, I'm going to trust you in this. And that trust was reestablished. And I experienced that He's a good Father, that He loves me. And then He just took all of that away. It was like, that doesn't matter, David. And I want that for you, but it's like where we got that real strong connection with God again. So I just want to thank you guys for that, that you're just unashamed about it and that you care for us. So let's give it up for Pastor John and
thank
Danielle.
You.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah.